Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Top of the Hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo, Privacy Simplified. And Transition is being brought to you by Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. Parkins and Spiegel are in the house. Spiegel back in the power chair.
That's right. That's right. Going to be driving all sorts of stuff today. Oh, hi, Danny. What do you want to do? What do you want to talk about? Go ahead, man.
No, please, please. I'm happy to ride a shotgun. Tournament time, baby.
Oh,
from
yeah.
your couch. That's right.
Let me see.
The TVs in the studio are too small. I had to do the show from home today to have the 60 and the 50 ready
to go. That's right. Exactly right. Pappy land for Parkins.
Let me
ask you guys, when you have Kentucky advancing in your bracket and you're writing it down, do you usually write Kent or do you write out Kentucky?
Or Tucky?
Like apostrophe
UK.
Tucky.
Yeah, UK is what you usually write, but you're right. This is the place where we start to, like, Gonzaga is Zags. And Arizona is always Zona. It's never Arizona.
100%. I really enjoy going apostrophe Zona. I go apostrophe Sconson. I've always done that.
I've never done that.
Oh, that's fun to do. I'd recommend it. But I'm looking at my bracket here. Let's see. I had Kent, obviously, over St. Peter's.
Then gonna get you a mansion.
And then I had Kent over
Way
Murray.
Way up in Wisconsin.
That's not going to happen. I have Kent over Vatek and then Kent over UCLA. Yeah. So I'm screwed is what I'm saying. I wrote Kent a lot on this bracket.
I don't do brackets anymore. I do one bracket that some family is in.
That's mine, too, is the family bracket, 100%.
Yeah. I had Iowa in the Final Four and Kentucky winning the whole thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to finish in last.
Not the best.
I think I'm going to finish in last in the bracket, but in my bets, I'm, like, killing it. So, you know, we'll see. The dreams of a profitable March are still very much alive, but it is likely to come with a last place bracket finish.
Man, I will never get over the continued embarrassment of how poorly I do in the family bracket. Every year, it doesn't matter.
How many people in the family bracket?
I have there's like 16.
Oh, that's I thought that you're talking like 5 people.
No, well, you know, I'm the youngest of 5, so all the siblings are in. Dad is still in. Dad's best friend, the one who's still thinking about getting a fax machine for the business, even though he hasn't even had the business for 10 years. He's still considering.
Pacing himself.
Yeah, he's pacing himself. He usually calls me, and I have to input it for him, you know, on the phone. One team at a time. But he's such a sweet guy. It's my opportunity to talk to Jack, you know, every year. So there's there's some extended, everybody's got a friend or two in there. Essentially.
That's nice.
How about you, Danny?
Well, so mine is a buddy actually runs it, and then a few friends and, like, family is in. So, like, Brad and his 2 kids are in. Steph and I are in. My cousin's in. So there's, like, 35 or 40 people in it, but 7 of them are in my family. But it's the only person I know that's running a bracket contest anymore. Like, everybody, like, I'm in Joe Ostrowski's Survivor Pool. I'm in an auction with, like, my guy friends, and then, you know, I've got my bets that I do. So I have plenty of action, but, like, an old brackets are just, they're not as fun because, you know, it can be over right away. Whereas,
it can be over the first day.
Yeah, like mine is literally over.
There's no path of victory for you at all.
Yeah, I could run the table. And I still wouldn't win. So I will not check the bracket again the rest of the tournament. Now, my bets, the Survivor Pool, I will be checking as long as I'm alive. Are either of you in Joe Ostrowski's NCAA Survivor Pool?
I'm not in the pool. Nope.
It's
I get in the
great.
Pool with you.
I had never done one until I joined Joe's last year or the year before. You got to pick one winner a day. just one winner, and the strategy is you get points for the seed that wins. So, like, if you pick Gonzaga yesterday, yes, you technically survive and move on to the next round, but you only get 1 point. And there's over 500 people in the pool, so if it goes all the way to the end, there's likely to be more than one person who makes it all the way to the end, and then most points win. So it's like it's a strategy of, do you want to go chalk? Because it pays, I think the top 20 spots pay, but it's very top heavy. So do you want to go chalky to just try to advance, but you'll never win it because
you won't accrue enough points.
Or do you, you know, so like yesterday I hit with North Carolina, you know, so
North Carolina! So that's nice. You got a 30-point win, so you were never in doubt. And you got them, what were they, a 9 or an 8?
They were...
8.
So I got it. So an 8 seed there.
I would have probably picked Michigan yesterday.
See, that if you had confidence with them over Colorado State and they were a slight favorite, a lot of people did pick them. That would have been the most points that you could get. But last year's pool, it ended in the Final Four.
Wow.
So it didn't even go to the championship. So the person that won was able to win by being fairly chalky all the way, and points didn't even matter. But the pool has more than doubled year over year, so that's unlikely to happen again this year. But it's great. I love NFL survivor pools, and that had been the only sport I'd ever participated in one in. I'll be in this pool as long as he's doing it.
Yeah, great. I'll get into this next year.
It's
I like
a lot
the
of
idea.
Fun.
There's one more apostrophe team I forgot. Nova. I go apostrophe Nova.
Absolutely.
You know?
Got to.
So I got Nova Zona.
Nova Zona Kent.
Yeah.
Zags.
Nova Zona Wisconsin.
You know, why don't you like Wisconsin?
I like, because I like Wisco or Whiskey.
I go with Whisk for them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very
WSIC.
I use a whisk when I'm like scrambling eggs, you know?
Yes.
Making pancakes.
That makes sense.
What's your go-to pancake? Are you just a buttermilk guy? Are you blueberries? What's the move?
It's a good question. Yeah, blueberries. Blueberries are delightful. Banana, especially because I have, as you know, as part of my brand, Lawrence, I have a unique and individual fruit and vegetable cutters for a lot of different unique and individual fruits. It's a great
everybody knows that, Lawrence.
It's a great opportunity to use my banana slicer.
Bananas. I love them.
Yeah, me too, Les. The banana slicer is a phenomenal item. It's just like it cuts them into very thin, perfect slices.
Strangely enough, yeah, enjoy bananas with French toast, but not pancakes or waffles.
I don't get that. The egg content of the French toast fits the banana or something?
I don't know. I've never wanted it with pancakes or a waffle. Mm. But strawberries with a waffle... I guess what I'm saying is I don't want anything in the middle of me and my pancakes.
Just get out of the way.
Yeah.
I want
butter and syrup.
Yeah.
I'm like Chili Willy. I'm just sitting there. More butter. More syrup.
I had breakfast at the Pancake House today. It was amazing.
The original Pancake House?
I don't not like there's so many.
The Walker Brothers?
Walker Brothers?
Yeah. Walker Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so
man.
Good, man.
It's the greatest.
Go with a little meat lovers skillet. What was the order?
So I got an omelet, but then
fluffy omelets at the Walker Brothers.
They're so good.
Oh, they're baked, right? Isn't that the thing? Like they
Yes.
Oh, they're
and
so
they're so
tasty.
Fluffy. But then you can either like the sides, because the omelet is huge, but so you can go healthy with your sides, like a fruit cup or whatever, or you can go side of pancakes.
Yeah, that's the move.
Who's turning down side of pancakes? And I was with my dad, my dad's buddy, and Owen, and Owen loves pancakes. So like we split a side order of pancakes.
Oh, there you go.
At Walker Brothers. It was a great father-son.
Have you ever gone for the big little thin ones, the big thin
ones? Silver dollar ones?
No, the 49er flapjacks, they're called. They're large, they're chewy. But they're super duper thin. It's a crepe.
So. Oh, dude. Is it more like a crepe? Like
yes, it is closer to a crepe, but it's got pancake flavor and the texture is just the bomb.
Yeah, I mean the apple cinnamon pancake there is outrageous, but it's dessert. It's like a 2,000 calorie breakfast item.
Well, I'm sitting here eating my pancakes.
Yeah.
Thinking about moving number one.
That's right.
Well, it is draft day.
That's right.
It's
coming. When you go to Walker Brothers at 9 a.m. that no lunch, like I will not eat until dinner. Like that is such a massive meal.
Did you get a nap in? Because that's no, I mean, if you're gonna go that hard in the paint, like that you get the itis from a meal that big.
Definitely. I was playing the game with Owen because I on more extended childcare duty on Friday mornings. I was like, we play a game called High Five to the Window. Which means I sit in a chair, and he runs to the window at the other end of the house, high fives the window, and then runs back and high fives me.
Oh, that's good.
And he asks, and I time him. And so I
do you
just,
actually time him?
I say, can you do it in 10 seconds? And then every time, Lawrence, by some miracle, he makes it back just before I say 10.
A-T-H, athlete.
Exactly. But it's great. It gets him... It expends a lot of energy from him, and I don't have to move. It's beautiful.
That is an outstanding game. Have you played straight up fetch with him? There was a while there where I played straight up fetch with Ruben. He was down for it.
Did you call it fetch?
maybe not.
Okay, don't call it fetch.
I
don't have any kids, but let's not call it fetch.
There were no leashes or collars involved. You know, it was just a ball and me not moving like Danny's game.
I do it on the golf course.
Oh, that's right.
I take him out and I practice my chipping, and he's got up the little clubs that Matt gave him. So sometimes he'll say, Owen, hit it, and then I'll help him hit it. But a lot of the times he just likes to go run around the course and go and get the ball. So I chip the ball, and then he runs after the ball and brings it back. It's amazing.
There you go.
I feel like I've got another year of this maybe before he's going to realize the con.
Can I share something with you guys?
Can I share a moment with you?
I don't have kids, but I do have a nephew. My adorable nephew, Cam, since we were talking about pancakes, this was him. My mom makes the best pancakes, okay? Like, she crushes it. Like, she's got the crispy thing down, like, crispy on the outside. And so my nephew Cam came over, and he went crazy.
Oh, my God.
Is that one of Terry Bors' monkeys?
No.
It's Cam.
It's Cam.
He sounds adorable, but a little insane.
He's very crazy.
Was that...
Pancakes.
Oh my God. Shot in the dark, is that after some sugar intake?
Yeah, well, no, yeah. Actually, no. This was
really,
we had just cut it up and so he was ready
excitement.
To go in.
That's pure, that's not syrup-induced
no,
sugar craziness.
No.
That is excitement for the upcoming
He's
pancake.
So cute.
I just realized what that reminds me of is in Elf when Will Ferrell sees Santa. Santa!
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's the
this
energy.
I think he was 2.5, maybe 3.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he just went, like, it's so great. Like, I have to show you, I'll send you guys a link to the video so you can see the joy. Because it's not just him screaming. Like, he's very happy about that he's about to get these pancakes, and he's just the cutest kid in the world.
Oh, it's so good, man.
That is
like
tremendous.
The simple pleasures. Like, I was excited when the waitress brought over the omelet and the pancakes.
You should have said it like Cam.
I know, but I wasn't that excited. You know, I was happy to get the food, but I don't know. I don't think anything gets me that excited.
You know, I just
upsetting.
When we talk about Walker Brothers, I think of a fairly frequent Tributosaurus line of onstage humor when the guitar gets kind of bluesy and my guy Kurt Morrison starts playing like, wow, 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 then we start going off about how he was raised on the hard scrabble streets of Glenview, Illinois.
Yeah.
Learning the blues, you know. I once got into a knife fight at Walker Brothers, you know.
Yes.
It's just like very, very difficult stuff that makes a legit blues guitar information.
Hey. It's a lovely lifestyle, if you know. It's, yeah, man, Walker Brothers is the best, but God, I might go back.
We were excited when we heard that Mark Grody told us, you know, there's one more press conference coming for the Bears.
Maybe
it's Ryan Poles. He's going to come out and have some transparency, talk about the big three technique tackle who doesn't end up signing, explain everything. Nope. Equanimeous St. Brown.
Get excited, everybody.
The crowd and the media.
Well, I will say that I was talking about this at the top of the show. I like the fact that they at least put out a statement and said, look, we wanted this guy. We were going to sign him. We got the medicals, and we're not going to sign him right now.
That's a win, man.
I agree with you.
I mean, we have lived the inverse. We have lived when Ryan Pace's, like, his number one signing was Pernell McPhee. I'm violent because I'm very violent. And McPhee signs a 5-year deal worth about $40 million. And he played 36 games over 3 years, and he had injury history that had gone kind of unpublicized, and it was a freaking debacle, and they eventually cut bait way before. I would much rather have this kind of upfront, this sucks, this is hurt, it bums us out, it bums Larry out, let's go ahead and not trap ourselves and sign this guy and hope that the health comes.
You know? I mean, that... It's definitely better to pull out of signing an injured player than go through with signing an injured player. But that doesn't mean this is a good thing. Like they made a move in the first hour of free agency opening and set the market. He was the highest paid defensive lineman of the offseason, at least for a defensive tackle, by a factor of like $10 million. Like it was a significant signing that was going to be the biggest signing that the Bears had this offseason, and they had to back out of it and bring in a fine player, a talented player, but a significantly less commitment who also has his own injury problems. So like, I'm with you guys. Like it's better to realize it, cut your losses, get out, and explain what happened as opposed to like throwing bad money after bad. I'm totally with you on that part of it, but it's still a bad day for the Bears. It's still a bad day for Ryan Poles.
Would you, if they were to sign him to lesser money now knowing how injured he is, would you be okay with that? Or do you want them to completely not get Ogunjobi?
I have a totally fair question, but I feel like a totally fair question for them. Like I have no, we don't know his medicals. You know, is it he had foot surgery? He got injured in the playoff game. That's what we know. You know, so is he going to miss training camp? Is it going to be a lingering injury? Does he need it? Did he have a setback from surgery and needs another surgery? You know, like I feel like I can't answer that without the medicals. And when your job is to be a massive human being who splits double teams, you know, among 600 pounds of mass, and I feel like pushing off on your foot is a fairly significant part. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when Greg Oden started having foot problems. It was like, well, that could be an issue for a long, long time. So I have no idea. He's a really good player. So if he's healthy, I'd love him to be on the Bears. But I feel like given that within 15 minutes, they moved on and signed another three technique defensive tackle,
they're not going to be going back to him.
I'd be pretty surprised.
There's a lot of defensive tackle free agents out there, a ton of them. And a lot of them, you know, are bigger names who are older and stuff like that. But the thing is, the actual fit for three tech is obviously massively important. That's why Ogunjobi was that guy. Like I see, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, the best guy out there is probably Akeem Hicks. That might be the best defensive lineman out there, that kind of thing. But they want a fresh slate, obviously, and I imagine somebody who fits it.
Akeem probably is, he's in such a different space in his career that I can't imagine him signing back here knowing that it's at least 1 year before this team is competitive, and probably we don't know if the quarterback's good. So why take that risk instead of falling into a short-term deal in a place where you have a chance to win immediately?
I agree. That kid is adorable, Lawrence.
Yeah!
That is an adorable kid who loves his pancakes.
He really does!
Yeah, that's very cute. But if you follow the axiom that I try to apply to all football moves, actions over words, Ryan Poles' actions said that Larry Ogunjobi was a huge priority. Signed him immediately, day one, biggest contract for a defensive lineman so far this offseason. And then they had to back out of it. So I feel like there's a lot of disappointment at Halas Hall, and I'd be a little surprised if they then, like, they tried to get a young guy in his prime for 3 years to be the dude.
Right. It was so interesting, though, the way that statement was worded. Like, that we're not going to sign him today. And you know, he embodies everything that we think a Bear should be. That's what makes me go, I wonder if they're going to work out a lesser contract knowing that the player is still injured. And if that's something that ends up resolving this for them, where they do eventually, hopefully, get the healthy player that they thought they were getting, but they understand that it's not going to be at the price that they were thinking, and maybe it turns out to be a positive. I still prefer this than what I suspect would have happened with previous regimes, which is, one, they would have allowed him to play, and they would have signed him to the deal, or they would have been like, oh, no, the media got that wrong. Like, everyone jumped the gun on that, and that was never our intent. That was just stuff that was reported. So I'm glad that they said, look, this is what we wanted to do. We can't do it, and here's why we can't do it.
Yeah, I think that's right. And hopefully, I mean, it sucks for Ogunjobi.
It does.
Right? Like, on this guy gets the payday of his life, and now, at best, won't. Right? Like, but worst case scenario is the injury is very serious, and there isn't a payday that's going to come for a while. So like, I feel like we're not dealing with a complete set of information. But yeah, I mean, this cost him a lot of money. He was supposed to get, what, it was $26.5 million guaranteed on a 40-something million dollar deal?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty brutal physical to fail.
There's a Raiders tackle, Quentin Jefferson, who played for Rod Marinelli there last year, who would also fit the system, who's 29 years old, but he's never been super duper productive. I think last year was his best year in terms of pass rushing so far. Ogunjobi, they thought they had a stud for 3 years. So now they go out and they get the Charger, who's at age 25. It'll be interesting to see what they do with some of their other money with some of the other folks who are left here. A couple of wide receivers now, though. Equanimeous, who's talking now, and Byron Pringle, Mr. Pringles.
That was a question I had last night. Jason Leisure and Tony Gill were at my house, and we were wondering.
Name dropper.
Sorry about that. Big name dropper. But we were wondering if Pringle is immediately Pringles.
To
Chicago sports fans.
Yeah, probably.
Is he immediately Pringles?
Yeah.
Plural.
Yes.
Yeah. No matter what. He's Pringles.
Like Brian Greasy used to be Greaseman. This Greaseman.
Yeah, Trubinsky. Yes. Yeah. That one is a little too easy.
Are we doing the Jewel and making it the Jewels?
Pringles. Yeah.
Pringle is Pringles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They needed to focus on getting a chip,
you
right,
know,
for the team.
Respect for,
I see what you did there.
Respect for the Lay's Corporation, but their imitation Pringle is just not as good. I mean, I don't know if they're an advertiser, and Lord knows, I hope not at this point. But they've got, you know,
it's always better to ask for forgiveness.
I buy local. Jay's Barbecue, still an amazing potato chip.
But they don't make them in a tube, right? Like, there's something
it's
about
in a big old bag.
The Pringle is constituted. It is not, like, I don't believe they search all the chips for the ones that happen to come out shaped like that. They make them like that for you from some sort of paste, which doesn't feel good when you talk about it out loud, but
a paste
is clearly delicious. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I am surprised that more salty snack companies have not copied the tube delivery mechanism.
Lay's is like one of the only ones, and there's like a veggie chip company that does it, and sometimes I've gotten those because
it should
like
come in the resealable so it doesn't dry out and get stale so fast. Like, you know, you put the clip on the bag of the Cape Cod chips or whatever, but you don't, and they get stale faster. Pringles last a lifetime. They're amazing.
Well, there's probably just enough preservatives in there as well to last that lifetime.
Lawrence, today, plenty of NFL news to react to. We'll monitor whether or not anything interesting happens with the Seiya Suzuki press conference for the Cubs. Antoine Walker. Going to join the show at 3 o'clock. A Bears report from Mark Grody with sounds from your newest Bears. We have a very personal Goodfellas treatment today at 4 o'clock.
I heard.
Hub Arkish at 4:40.
I heard. What was your favorite part of the Loyola game? Never mind. It doesn't.
Poor Lucas, man.
That did not exist.
That dude, I know how much you dig him, Lawrence, and you've talked to him many times, but like the Loyola Project was such a brilliant project and then documentary with his heart and soul and narration and executive production. And it's been a remarkable career, but my God, was he and the whole team awful today.
The beautiful thing about it is that guy is clearly moving towards a very successful post-college life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you were like, if non-NBA future, if you were drafting that, he'd be very high.
I'm pretty sure he's the best documentary producer in the NCAA tournament. Don't you think?
Yeah. I would imagine that is the case.
I think that is correct.
Well, listen, man, have a good weekend. I can't. This kid is adorable. I'm gonna pass this off to Steph and say, why doesn't Owen get this excited about pancakes?
Well, he's got to get Mama Holmes to make him some pancakes, and then he'll be excited like Cam.
I bet you that's true.
Boys, enjoy yourselves. Enjoy the show, and I'll see you. Wait, am I seeing you both on Monday? What's the deal here?
I'll be here.
I am working from home due to some family obligations next week.
But all right.
I will be on the air.
Cool and the gang, boys. See you later.
All right. See you, Lawrence.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.